Hello and welcome, my outstandingly, amazingly, exceptionally good-looking folks in the listening area. This week, we're going to be talking with Alyssa Rice, and she's going to give us one more dish about the upcoming holiday festival this Saturday. So make sure that is on your calendar. Also, Dr. Ray Myers, the sociology professor at Ivy Tech, is going to be reading some Gosport history stories for us, one about the Indian chief's grave, and another one about going to school in old-time Gosport. So sit tight, relax, and enjoy. Today we're here with Alyssa Rice, and she's going to give us some great dish about the holiday festival.
Hi, thanks Michelle for having me. I appreciate it. One of the things that you may not know is I think this is the 12th year. It was started by a group of people just in Gosport that wanted to see something in the December month to celebrate Christmas and the holidays. And so that's how it started. Nancy Wesley was our first president, and it just kind of grew from there. And then it was turned over to the Business Association as a fundraiser. So that's why we have the holiday celebration and have the festival. I jumped on board really early on, and it's been really interesting to see the people that have come and gone and have really made a difference and to what it is today. We're having a craft fair this year, and it's gonna be a little bit different. It's gonna be held at Whitaker Chandler Funeral Home, which people just need to get over that it's just a building.
And it's just really kind of them
to. So kind of them to do this. GL's wanted to do this for some time, and Ron's kind of in charge. And so there will be a facility for bathrooms in there. It'll be nice and warm. We don't have to worry if there's a snowstorm or a windstorm. But we've got some great hand crafters coming in. Cool. So anything from shirts to crochet to earrings, all kinds of little things. It'll be perfect handmade gifts for your special someone. Great. So I'm really excited about the crafters that are coming. Nothing's going to be like made from China or anything like that. Right. I love the fact that each one of them have their own specialty and they each make their own kind of design. GL and Ron will be also having popcorn and hot cider in front of Whitaker Chandler Funeral Home. Mm-hmm. And also that will be our starting and stopping point for the kids to get on the wagon with Santa. Oh. So we're trying to incorporate more of the town mm-hmm. instead of just around the gazebo. We want to see the whole town being involved. So I'm excited about that. Also, the History Museum will be open. I think that's really great for people that have never been inside. Mm-hmm. We are so fortunate to have something that is such a gift.
Yeah, there's and, nothing like that in other towns this size.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
The historic nature that's there, the amount of things, items, mm-hmm. pictures, slides, information.
And it's not, boring old stuff. It's really interesting.
No, it's really interesting.
Gosport history is so fascinating.
It is. And if you want to learn about Gosport history, that's where you need to head mm-hmm. because it's got just a plethora of things. And you'll really enjoy looking back at the history of Gosport. Mm-hmm. I'm involved with the pie auction, which, excuse me, is really dear to my heart. We started several years back thinking that we needed to have a playground for the town. We were missing two opportunities. We were missing opportunities with kids and with seniors. And so the first thing we wanted to do was we wanted to have a safe space for our kids to enjoy. So we decided to build this playground, and the town gave us the area down off the basketball courts, and that's where it's going to go. So the pie auction is dear to my heart. I want everybody to come and bid and have fun. Billy Williams is going to be our auctioneer, and I'm sure there'll be some hot bidding going on, which is always fun and interesting to see. But all of these cooks are taking their time to make their best pies. Mm-hmm. And so, look, you can put them in your freezer, mm-hmm. save them for Christmas Day, and then you don't have to make anything.
Yeah.
And you're helping out the Gosport community by finishing this playground.
Yeah.
Those are kind of the things I like. The other thing I really think is important is the cookie walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of people that are working on that for the WRE, which is weekday religious education through mm-hmm. our schools. And the cookie walk is awesome. You've got all these cooks that make their best cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is you get in line and you walk through and you pick out the cookies that you want. It's $5 a pound, which is really, really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all your plate of really beautiful Christmas cookies, and you're helping out a good nonprofit as well.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I really enjoy. The last thing I will close with that I'm going to enjoy, my dad has read from the beginning of this. He's read The Night Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He's 89 years old. He's had some health issues this year, but it's not going to stop him.
Great.
He is so ready. He called me last night. He said, where am I supposed to be? I've got my book. He has his book that he reads from that his grand or his father gave him in 1933.
Wow.
So he has read that to all of our kids and to us as kids. And now he shares that with the kids
of
Gosport.
What a great tradition.
And I love that, and that he brings that down, and he will be reading. And I think it will be in Kip and Michelle's building.
Okay.
As it has been in the last few years.
And for people who might not know where
that is next door to Nate's Candy Jar and across from the gazebo.
Okay.
So they'll see, there will be signage that mm-hmm. will direct people in and out. And the Lions Club will put on a little something in there as well. They usually have decorating cookies they have a treat to give to the kids. But he'll be reading from there. I'm looking forward to seeing him do that again.
And what time of day is that?
That I'm not sure. I think I want to say it's going to be about between 1 and 3.
Okay.
So it's usually that time of the day. So check that out between 1 and 3 when you're downtown.
Great. What an awesome lineup. So many activities. So many fun things. And, nothing's going to cost a whole lot. You can just come spend the day. Bring kids. Bring friends.
Right.
And enjoy, even if it's bad weather outside, there's things to do inside.
Right, and it's supposed to be 43 degrees and sunny.
Oh, that's great.
So I think we're going to have a great day, and it's so family friendly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You can come, and like you said, Michelle, you're not going to spend a lot of money. You can do things where you're going to spend money, like
right.
the snowball drop and the cookie walk mm-hmm. and the pie auction. But that gives you an opportunity just to come down with your family and just enjoy Gosport
exactly.
for the day.
Exactly. Yeah, well, thank you so much, Alyssa, for coming in and telling us some of the more details about the festival. It's upcoming this Saturday. Starts about 11.
Yes.
Goes till about 5:30. And anything else that we need to let people know? There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/Gosport Holiday Festival.
Yes, just come and check it out and come and enjoy the day.
And if you've never been to Gosport, this is a perfect opportunity to come and check out this hidden gem of a town.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
In our history segment today, we have Dr. Ray Myers, Ivy Tech sociology professor and resident of Gosport, retelling some enjoyable stories of Gosport history.
We are reading from the Wayne Township section of Charles Blanchard's History of Owen County that he edited in 1884. In 1823 or 24, the Delaware Indians, who were owners of the country about Indianapolis and Noblesville, exchanged their lands in Indiana for new grounds in what was then known as Kansas. And in moving to their new land, their line of march was along the West Fork of White River. The head chief, whose name was Big Fire, took sick on the way, and when they reached our neighborhood, they camped just above the mouth of Indian Creek, a half mile above where Gosport stands, and right on the riverbank. Here, Big Fire died and was buried with much ceremony on the bluff, just north of their camp, near the railroad crossing, and south of the IMV Railroad. The body was carried by four elders of the tribe on a bier made of two poles interlaced with bark to the grave, where it was painted, dressed in his best blanket and beaded moccasins, and buried along with his ornaments and war weapons. The grave was 3 feet deep, lined with rough boards and bark. Over it was planted an oak post 5 feet high and 8 inches square, tapering to a point and painted red. The monument was often visited and long revered by the band. It has disappeared within a few years. After the death of their chief, the Indians remained 30 days in their camp to mourn. The camp swarmed with men, squaws, and papooses to the number of several hundred, and there was a great deal of sport among them, and as the camp was only a mile from my father's cabin, we often went down to see them run foot races, wrestle, and everything else. On one of our visits to the camp, I was induced to engage in wrestling with them and found to my astonishment that I could throw down their best wrestlers. They challenged me to run a foot race, and I did so, and found I could easily outrun their swiftest Indian in the camp. But they were not satisfied with this and challenged me to run a race with their champion, a young chief who had remained at Strawtown when they started to move for the purpose of attending to some business, but was to be in the camp in a few days. My father urged me to accept, which I did, and they promised to notify me when the young chief would arrive. Nothing was at stake. We were simply to run for the championship. Finally, one day, we were notified that he was in the camp and wanted to see me. So my father and I went down at once, and we shook hands and fixed the day and time for the race. Day came, and the whole camp was astir, and all the whites from miles around who came to witness the contest were on hand. The race pads were in good order, 120 yards long, and were made near the river, terminating just above the mouth of the creek. We started at the upper end of the pads and ran down the river. For the first 50 yards, we were parallel, but I saw that I could beat him easily. And at this point, I struck out with all the muscle and spring that I had, and in a few minutes I lost sight of him and turned my head to see what had become of him. And the moment I looked back, he stopped. He had fallen at least 10 feet behind. He was done for and gave it up. I, however, ran on to the end and jumped over the line. Then the vast crowd raised a shout that was heard at our cabins and made my mother and sister quite uneasy, lest we had been murdered. They gathered me up and took me around on their shoulders, carrying me in triumph around the camp. We returned home, and about the middle of the afternoon, a committee of the honorable men came to notify me that I had been chosen chief of the Delaware natives under the name of Big Fire, which was the name of the fallen chief, and desired my presence at once at the camp to be adopted into their tribe. I inquired what the ceremony of adoption was, and they informed me that on my arrival at the camp, I would be expected to make a public declaration of my determination to become an Indian and renounce my former relations to the whites. I would then be led down to the water by one of the chiefs and immersed. That in the act of immersion, the pale face would be washed off and the Indian put on, and I would then be an Indian, a big brave. they were authorized to make the following grand inducements. First of all, we will make you much rich. Number two, in our hunting grounds, you may select attractive land just where you please, and make it as large as you wish, and it shall be yours forever. And number three, you may have heap squaw, but I decline the adoption with all their tempting offers. We're reading some stories from Charles R. Mason's Memories of My Boyhood Days in My Old Hometown, Gosport, Indiana. There was a family lived across the river who had a boy about my age. This was in 1890. The boy prided himself on being the tough, who did not let any school teacher boss him. No young girl teacher could control him, so the school trustees expelled him from school over in the township where the family lived. And the next fall, his father got him in school here in town. He was in the seventh grade. Our teacher was Molly Moberly, an old maid about 40 years of age. She had been teaching for years. This tough boy did all right for about 2 weeks. Then he started in doing little stunts. The teacher let him go for a couple of days. She had been informed of his past record in schools, which he had attended before coming here. She was prepared for him. Finally, he went too far, and Molly called his name and told him to come up to her desk. He only sneered at her. Molly folded her arms and walked down to his desk, talking all the time. Then all of a sudden she grabbed him by his coat collar, jerked him out of his seat, and led him up to where she could reach a switch, and then gave him that kid a licking of his life. From that day on, he was a model student. He didn't know Molly like we did, but she soon showed him that he couldn't pull any rough stuff in her school. That was the custom back in those days. You had to get your lessons, and you had to be obedient and orderly in school and on the playground. Along in the 80s, Ed Davis was studying law and teaching school in the country north of town. He lived across the river in Monroe County. He rode a horse back and forth to school each day. One day, he gave a boy a licking for disobedience, which was a common thing. The next morning, the boy's dad went to school, walked in and told Ed, "You licked my boy yesterday, and I've come to lick you." Ed looked at the clock and said, "It's only 5 minutes until recess, so just wait a bit. I don't want to disturb the class, and then we'll step outside and I'll accommodate you." When the recess bell rang and all the kids got out, Ed took off his coat and said, "You came here to lick me, so let's go outside. I'm always glad to accommodate a man who wants to lick me." When they got outside, the man took off through the schoolyard, and in a run, it is claimed he didn't stop running until he was safe at home.
I love it. It's great when history can be funny. Thank you, Ray Myers, for reading those selections. And thank you, Alyssa Rice, for stopping by and telling us about the upcoming Gosport Holiday Festival. That's this Saturday, December 10th, from 11 to 5. So we hope to see you in downtown Gosport.